So certainly in terms of what went well or what we've been doing, we recently started that practice of like a quiet meditations, like a 10 minutes, you know, on your own, you know, praying, listening to God, and then coming back with something that you feel like God's said to you. And that's been going really well, I think. I was unsure about how it would go because, like, just, you know, 10 minutes of dead time seemed like it would be dead time, but it went better than I expected, I think. And I think I had already been doing in my D group, hey, what's something you want to take from, you know, this week or today to the rest of the week from what we learned in this Bible reading or whatever. And after giving people 10 minutes to, like, really mull on it on their own, and then come back to the group, I think we've got better, like a little bit more thought out takeaways than we did before. And yeah, it's been a good practice.
That's awesome. How have you felt like 10 minutes length-wise has been for your guys?
I think it's been pretty good. I think it was in the recommendation, like, set a timer or something, and the timer that I use, though, halfway through, it's like, 5 minutes remaining! which is kind of funny, but, like, it's also kind of a nice, like, to just kind of tell where you're at in the, I guess it's been a lot of quiet time when you got an alarm yelling at you, but, yeah. But it does seem about, like, a decent, good time, but not too long.
And then, are you incorporating that every week?
Really? Yeah, we're doing that every week. I feel like if me personally as a leader, if I don't do something regularly, there's a good chance I'll forget it.
Set that habit.
Good morning. Good to see you.
Thanks for sharing that. We are, if you've got questions that you want to ask another group leader or a staffer, suggestions you want to share, or things that are happening in your group, just take the time to share those. Jump into the rest of our time. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege and honor of knowing and shepherding your people. We pray, Lord, for the strength to depend on you, the strength to trust you, the bravery to believe in your sovereignty, and that every group and every sheep is yours, that you are King and Lord over all. We pray in this time that we would know you more and be more like you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Russell got us started off really well because the next thing we are going to talk about is an update and any questions that you may have on how incorporating the new group elements in the discipleship pathway have been for your groups. If you're not entirely sure what I'm talking about, Joel has updated handouts about our new home group, discipleship group, and the discipleship pathway. So the thing that Joel, Jay, and I are most interested in hearing about today is how have you been incorporating or not incorporating the discipleship pathway into your group that you're responsible for or you're attending? How have you been utilizing it, implementing it?
I think we don't meet as often as probably many other groups, but we've used it once at this point. We've used specifically the listing. We pray for each other, we share verbs. Usually the listing part we use once. We know how to use it. It's the when we miss a week or so. We also have couple of families who have babies, three families that just had babies over the last year. So I think there's a lot of transition in that group. But when we meet often, we've incorporated once, but the other times we've had someone talking, and one or two people talking, and we just let them share basically what they have. So.
Because the priority for you can be more like shepherding, life sharing, because you're not together very often.
Yeah, and just listening, honestly. Listening and encouraging has been a big component of what we've done. So, yeah.
How did you feel when you did do it that one time? It was received by your group, and as a leader, how did you feel walking
out of it? I thought it was received well. Yeah, I didn't think. I think people would definitely do it and like it.
Talking about how has implementing or utilizing the discipleship pathway in the group that you lead or attend, how's that been going?
Ours has been a little bit of a mixed bag, I would say. I've done it probably four times now, and on the positive, someone said it has gotten less awkward, so that's good. We also had someone in tears because she felt like it was it's a lot of pressure, in particular afterwards, about like, what did you hear? Well, and then it made her feel very, I'm not worthy to be, I don't get this, God's not speaking directly to me, I don't understand this audible, God's speaking in my voice, and she felt a lot of pressure from it. So that was rough. We had kind of a rough group in general, and so it was tough. So takeaways from that is we're gonna decrease the what did you hear afterwards, and try to emphasize that it's not necessarily, and we had some good conversation after that happened, so that was good. But not so much of a expectation that God's supposed to directly speak to you in this 5 minutes of quiet time. So trying to kind of downplay that, we're only doing 5 minutes, because 10 minutes seems like a lot for our group. And we have a big group and we don't have 10 minutes all the time. But trying to kind of talk more about reflecting. It's not just a God's going to audibly speak to you at that exact moment to all seven of us, and we're all going to have something concrete to share with them. So kind of alleviating some of that pressure, I think. I wanted to print out the discipleship pathway thing, and I didn't do it the next time we met, and so I'm going to now take your copies, Jules. Thank you. To then kind of share, like, give someone something tangible to look at. So I don't really want to tell them to look at your phone, because then it's too distracting to then look at other things. So that was going to be my goal. The next time we met, we had a very chill group, and it was nice to kind of take some of that pressure off.
Were you saying you were going to get some time with Gia, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, how did that go?
It was good.
Good.
Yeah. So yeah, that's some of my takeaways about it. It's not so much pressure afterwards, but have it be open that it could be a time, but also it could be a time of reflecting how God has worked with you in the past, or what takeaway things do you want to take in the next week, or what kind of, where are you at, or use this time to just pray for each other internally, or it doesn't have to be a, this is what God's going to say right now. Because I don't know if that's how it came across, but that's how she took it, and it was not a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
if I can speak into that experience a little bit, when that's sort of the attitude in the group that I'm in, I always remind people, D-group and small group and church, it's not like we're not coming to perform, or we're not coming to have like the culmination of everything we've ever learned to teach each other or to have arrived, but we're practicing listening to God together, so that we can practice it at home too. So this is really just a dry run. It doesn't have, like you were encouraging her, it doesn't have to happen right now, but it's a practice, right? Like we go to church and someone shows us how to pull apart the Bible and apply it to our lives, so that hopefully we can go home and do that too. Sorry about the pressure.
Yeah. I think honestly, for me, 9 times out of 10, if it's 5 minutes, my response is I like can't even get quiet in 5 minutes. Like the work that it takes me to make like a grocery list or write down all the things that are distracting me or I'm concerned about to even make space for that is hard. And I typically just say, thank you for the opportunity to like begin quieting my heart. I just think it, I think that it's hard, and I feel sad that she felt that pressure. I'm confident that it's nothing that you said. I think also too, there's this misconception that if we don't hear anything, we start to question if God really loves us or if He will speak to us, or maybe what's wrong with me.
And there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Which is obviously not the intent. So.
Yeah, not the intent at all. Yeah. How do you feel about trying again?
We will try again. I feel like I'm going to approach it a little bit differently. That particular person, it was kind of a rough group in general, with a few different people. And all of them were not there the next time we met, unfortunately. But that ended up being a really chill group, and we actually didn't even do it, and it was fine. And so that was kind of a bummer that they weren't there. But we are planning on doing it again. We're just going to frame it a little differently and give them something tangible to look at, so if they need direction, they can kind of focus on one of the areas and not have it just be so open-ended. And then not flat out say, not that I like went around and said, what did God speak to you? What did God speak to you? Like, we didn't do that, but
you also had a spotlight.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. You could stand on a chair in the middle of
it. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
So we're just going to do that a little differently.
Thanks, Jason.
Appreciate your honest feedback on that. I mean, it's helpful to know. I mean, we're kind of rolling all this out for the first time, so there were some things we just tried to foresee.
Yeah. When you've been doing listening prayer or those quiet times in your groups, What have you been using for your prompt or your guide for that time, and how do you feel like that's been working?
Repeat the question.
When you've been doing listening prayer or having that quiet time in your groups, whether you're leading it or attending it, what has the prompt or direction that you've been taking been? So it could be, it sounds like Russell, maybe your group reads scripture and then using that scripture. Krista, it sounds like you might be using the discipleship pathway. So just share what you've been using to guide yourselves through that time, and how do you think it's been going?
We've typically done like some type of journaling. Found that that's how most of the women in our group kind of tend to best do that type of listening prayer by writing it out. And we have a couple of different sets of questions that people can use to prompt after we read scripture, just kind of to get, and it's. I leave it kind of open-ended of here's some questions that you can, they can be helpful prompts, or if God's leading you on a completely different path, follow that.
So, yeah. do you just verbally like say those before you go, or did you email them out ahead of time or text them out? Like,
I always print them out because it's just easier for people to scan between the papers, and then there's not the issue of looking at phones and stuff. But I do email them out before.
And I'm sure all your introverts are grateful. Thanks, Tasha.
Sam, so we've only done that twice. The prompts we've used were like, for example, the talk that was given or the series that we're going through, just saying, hey, you know, based on the talks, does anybody, you know, something to think or meditate or prayer or reflect on? One of the guys has shared, like, oh, I was thinking for this group or for this time, this scripture was what they were reading and kind of like hit them a little bit that week. And so, but it's pretty open-ended, honestly, for us. And I think that's been, well, like I said, only done it twice, but like it's been good because it's a good conversation starter, you know, wherever your heart is going, like it kind of, we can reflect on that and go with that. It probably would be, I'm a little jealous of you printing it out ahead of time and thinking about it ahead of time. It's actually, that may be a good way to go in the future, but so far, it's like I said, only done it twice, but it's worked out well. I mean, it's the first time we did it, I was like, this is going to be awkward. We just kind of sat here for, it felt like forever, honestly, but like I think it was only about 7 or 8 minutes.
Like 27 seconds.
Yeah, right. It was like, are we done? You know, so, but yeah, the issue for us, too, I don't know how other people's groups work, but like our group, we do it, or we've done it, at least I'm not sure for the women, but like we break up into discipleship groups, men and women. The men stay downstairs in our house and the women go on the second floor, but our kids are in the basement, and we don't have a door that shuts off our basement stairs to the kids, and so like we're like being quiet and reflecting and whatever, but you hear like just the kids are just like screaming and like playing, and I'm not having a good time, which is good, but it's like
most of the time.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different than silent.
Yeah. I mean, we're silent, but
in the midst of the storm.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's right.
How did it feel when it was 7 or 8 minutes a good amount of time?
I think so. I think it is. I was not surprised. It's not the right word, but like the amount of time. Like I said, it feels shockingly long. I just to sit there with a bunch of people in silence and but I think it's enough to reflect and have a time to kind of center yourself. I mean, if it was like 2 minutes, probably not enough. Or if it was just a minute of silence or something, it's not enough. But for us, it seemed to work out well. In our group, we really have about, generally in the range of about an hour or so of, we do dinner for the first hour, and then we do break down in our group discussions for the second hour of our meeting, so.
So 8 minutes of an hour, that's a lot of time.
So yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big chunk to dedicate to silence, I guess, but.
Thanks for sharing more.
Yeah.
Any questions that you'd like to ask the group before we move on to Jay sharing about our next thing?
I think it'd be valuable to ask what hindrances are still in play for people to move into this space.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you'd be willing to share out loud what is preventing you from being like, yes, I'm wholesale in on these new predictable patterns, as they call it in the documents. I'm hearing kids in the basement, high expectations. I'm wondering if there's anything else out there we need to be considering, things we might be able to ameliorate in some way, shape, or form.
I get to co-lead like a small group of professionals and graduates, so we don't have the kids, so I can't speak into that, but I would encourage you guys, like, instead of looking at it as if we have to and we are going to hear something, it was really encouraging to say we get to spend 15 minutes sitting, just listening to our Lord and Savior in quiet. We're like, our kids, yes, they're in the basement, but we know that they're like, they're expected to go have fun. They're gonna be down there. And our wives get to go enjoy it up there. Like, we're gonna sit. So like with our group, we get to sit. And even if it's just in quiet, practicing quieting that voice. Mine's an internal battle. When I was sharing this, was like thinking, is it my thoughts? Is it God's thoughts? Is it the devil accusing me? But getting to practice that time, and then now I have a whole group that once my 15 minutes is done, I can be like, this is what I think I'm hearing. Maybe it's my own thoughts. Maybe it's this. And now I have a whole group that I can reflect it with, and who can point out that's a lie. That's truth. That's something that might just be your thought, Sarah. This is God's mm-hmm. thought. And so just using that as a time that, so when you are alone and you don't have that whole group, but you've had that practice time with that group that can point you back to truth. And so getting to look at it, like, I just want to encourage you guys, like, getting to look at it as we get to sit in silence with people who also love Jesus too and who are going to encourage me in this walk. And that's been really cool and encouraging to hear. And just,
Because I don't think, I think if 15 minutes if we're sitting quietly and we can't do it, I think that shows that we need to maybe have more time to be quiet in our lives, which sounds chaotic and crazy, but I think we'll benefit from it.
I like that idea of other people being able to speak in too, a certain vulnerability of saying, I'm not really sure, I wonder about this, and having other people speak into it. It's good.
I was going to say, one of the things for us is, so our group, and sorry I came late, so I don't know if this is already discussed, but like, we do kind of like alternating normal group meetings and deep group meetings, and the listening time and the kind of the subject patterns are more during the deep group times.
Yeah.
But one thing I would make sure of is, so honestly, we don't have a whole lot of like new people cycling through our group, but I think one thing that may be really important, at least for me, that I've been thinking about was like, if you have somebody, you do have someone that's new, or maybe in a slightly different spot, is to tailor maybe that particular meeting a little bit. So if it's the first time in the group or first time coming, you know, definitely understand where they're at, and then jumping right into like, hey, we're going to sit here in silence for 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever it is, and it can be not off-putting, that's not the right word, but like, it, you know, for somebody's first meeting, maybe that's not the best, that's not, you have to kind of gauge where they're at, and is it better getting that out of it, or is it better just, hey, let's take this time to get to share a little bit about each other and get to know you and get to know us and you know, see if they have any questions or anything like that. But like I said, we don't really have a whole lot of new people cycling through our group. I think in the, like in college, I had a guy who was in one of our deep groups, and he was at a different place than we were. Maybe the rest of the group was, and not in a bad way, just in a different, like, say, spiritual maturity area. And it kind of put him off, and he stopped coming to the group, which is kind of a loss for us. I mean, we definitely wanted him to keep coming, because, you know, it was really great having him. But maybe just keep that in mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When people are coming for a D group for the first time, I think two questions in my experience have been really consistently great in terms of helping them get knit into the group and helping the group really understand where they're coming from or where everybody's coming from. One is, would you tell us, you know, your journey in coming to faith? And then the other piece is, in the course of your life, this is a riskier question, in the course of your life, there's ups and downs in terms of your intimacy with God, and where are you right now? And I find people generally answer that question if multiple people are answering the question. I can start with my bravest souls first. I usually sometimes I give them light nods that, Stephen, would you be willing to start first? Anybody that I think is going to answer both questions, those have been really good. So I would echo that. Like, sometimes it is good to pause it, get people integrated into that time, and then move on. And our city D groups, within the home group structure, they don't change that fast, at least not in the last couple of years. You know, where Tasha and Sarah are at, Nate's at, there's more integration, so you guys have a more dynamic challenge, I think.
I like thinking about what you both were sharing after the quiet time and what follow-up questions you ask when that quiet time is over. And how you were saying, not just saying, what did you hear from God, but also incorporating, how did it go quiet in your heart? What did you think about? What did you hear? What do you know was not God? What do you think maybe was God? And just that idea of, we're practicing this, we're learning this. Were you able to quiet yourself? Did you hear anything? And then say, I know a staff member who said it takes her a full 5 minutes to quiet her heart. Sounds true.
She's a pro.
That was awesome.
Well, as we keep meeting here monthly, and you hear from your coach, or even if you do have more questions, like let's keep them coming as we do try to build these predictable patterns. We don't expect that you have it figured out yet, even as in our own groups, we're still figuring it out. So keep bringing those wins, keep bringing those spots where you think we can improve, even if it is, you know, Kristen, you go back through and you realize maybe we have too strong of language in a document that we gave you. How can we finesse that and make it a better fit? And we want to just keep growing together and walking through it. Thank you for all your thoughts and sharing today on that.
Thanks. So, we as New Life seek to be a vibrant, reproducing church, lives out the greatest commandment and the Great Commission. And a huge part of vibrancy, when you think about the health of the church, is how much is that church actually engaging those outside? And a huge part of that is actually inviting them into church, which doesn't just mean Sunday mornings. We talk about, as you go through the discipleship pathway, you get into community, it mentions the phrase, the life and rhythms of the church. There's a lot more to the life and rhythms of New Life than just Sunday mornings. There's Thrive events that happen, there's VBSs in the summer, which we'll talk about later, where that's actually still interestingly enough. I did some research on VBSs. Even amongst secular people, that's one of the most invitational things still available. Like, it makes no sense to me. People who are totally non-Christian, unchurched, de-churched, they don't want anything to do with church, they were asked, would you send your kids to VBS? Oh, yeah. And I'm like, it must just be like the child care thing for them.
Well, but yeah, like, as a social worker, they're usually free. All the volunteers are background checked.
It's true.
And they usually preach kids.
So some lawyers there. We'll come back to VBS. Yeah. But beyond that, special events, service projects, even in our own church, we're leaning more and more into justice. I think that's going to be a huge opportunity for invites to those who aren't involved in church. And so this is one of the things that coming into this, like over the Christmas holiday, into the new year, the pastors, we were talking and we really felt like the Lord was saying, we didn't know what that meant, but moving us into an invitational season and wanting to push that more, especially as we move towards Easter in this season, because I think it is, the stats hold true on that, that the two times a year that people are most open to going to something church-based are Easter and Christmas. So those still happen. Christmas is still one of the highest attended. Christmas Eve, and actually it's not just Christmas Eve, it's the whole week of Christmas. So if you were to go to like an event, a service, you know, I don't know, cookie, sing-along, whatever, it's like anything in that week tends to be. And then in the Easter season as well, it's also like a really great opportunity to invite. And so there were a number of stats I threw out years ago, like 5 years ago at a summit, and then I brought them back like a year later, and anytime people saw them, they were like, are you serious? Is that true? And so I went back and just researched all this again, and it's like, are these stats still holding true? And they're still holding true. I think some of the numbers fluctuate, but I still see some of the biggest thinkers out there in the Christian world trying to coach and teach in churches. Are still referencing these same things, which 82% of the unchurched are at least somewhat likely to attend church if invited. So I think, just let that sink in, 82%. So 4 out of 5 people are somewhat likely if they were invited to church. 80% of people who come to church do so because they were invited. So most of the people who are finding church on their own, they're looking for it already. Maybe they grew up in the church and they're coming back. There's a huge trend in the 20s that, and this is consistent in all generations, you'll see it, but millennials is it's actually a bigger gouge. So more are walking away in the 20s, but there's the 30s is an uptick. And so for a lot of people in the city, we tend to be moving towards 30s, or 30s hit, marriage hits, especially when kids hit. If you know anyone in those realms, young professional in their career, just getting married, or has newly had kids, it puts these things back on the radar of people who actually are kind of like prodigal son and daughters who have walked away, but doesn't mean they're out of the faith. It's just they're out of practice and maybe God's calling them back. So it could be really low hanging fruit right next door to you or right in the cubicle next to you who is literally stirring and all of a sudden wondering, yeah, I probably should get back to church. And you're just going to, hey, I have a church for you. You should come check this out. So 80% of people were there. 2%, this is the one that like breaks my heart and is the most shocking to most people, is 2% of churchgoers invite someone else to church in a given year. 2%. It's staggering. And then I sat there, I was like, when's the last time I intentionally invited someone myself? And I was like, oh man, that's not good. Because it put me back to like the fall, even. You know, we're ramping up, we're going into school year, got lots of new people around. And I was like, well, there's been like little invites, but people that I'm thinking about, who in my sphere of influence, my neighborhood, baristas, whatever, people I know randomly. 7 out of 10 unchurched people have never been invited to church in their whole life, which is pretty crazy to think about. I don't know how that breaks down with people that grew up in the church. They come back to the church on their own. They can say they were never invited. But I would love to see from us and our perspective try to change that as much as possible. And for us to begin leaning in that, into that in this season and modeling it. And the thing we want to be asking all of you is, would you consider inviting one person between now and through Easter, whether it's individual or family, someone that you can think of that you're gonna pray about, pray for, pray over, and then figure out what's the best invite for them into our church, the life and rhythms of our church. It could be a Sunday, it could be Easter Sunday, it may not be. This was another stat that I found really fascinating as it was open. It was asking about, are you open to someone who faith is very strong with them or religion to have a conversation? Are you open to them having a conversation with you if they're very passionate about it? And it said 79% of people are open to that. The interesting thing is, I think most people we think as Christians is they don't want to talk about God. They'll listen to us talk about God all day. They don't maybe want us to turn it and say, what do you think about God? Hey, let's get coffee and I want to hear what you think about God. Like, that's just not. But if you're sharing your own faith and your story and what's God doing in your life or what's happening in church, people are open to listening. They're completely open to it. And we talked about life and rhythms. Sunday service is a huge thing. The other part was they were trying to look at beyond Sunday service or like a worship service or a gathering, what are other things that people would be highly open to being invited into? And neighborhood safety, if a church ever did some neighborhood safety thing, there were like tons of people. I don't know, we've never done that. If you're trying to serve, so justice issues or Reiki Leaf, some of those things that we've done, huge invite. And I think that's a great place for us to begin saying, if you ever come to one of these other events we do, I would love us to get to a place where our default is, who am I bringing? Almost because it's not about like just get them to church on Sunday or sit down and have coffee. It's how can I get these people around other Christians so that they actually interact and go, oh my word, wait, you're all, how do you all know each other? Church? All right, well, you seem cool. That's a thing that happens with people. It's like busting down the stereotypes of Christ followers. Sporting events, fun, other resources like that. And then there was a huge, a lot of stats through different things that I read that were very much about the openness to just even one-on-one conversations with believers, people they know who are believers, that they're like, hey, I would talk to them. I'd totally go get coffee or hang out and have a conversation about God or what they have. But it's just a thing that we don't naturally think about doing, or it feels awkward or challenging. In this season, we'd love to encourage you to be praying about who's one person or family that you could be thinking about, praying about. I would love you to do that. Pray and think over it. And then if the Lord puts someone on your heart, think about what's the best way to pursue them. Is there an event or something coming up in our church that you can invite them into? I know that BC and some of the dads in the church have gotten together doing events with even kids. And that's like super low fruit because they're really not focusing on talking about God. It's just bunch of Christians getting together, and relationships are happening there. People are coming into spaces with our life and rhythms of the church that would normally be stuck in. So that's our encouragement, and we'd love to. We're hopefully going to be championing that in other spaces as well. So, but I don't know if you had anything to add with that.
Yeah. So we in thinking about, you know, how are we doing an invitation, not only, you know, looking at our own lives and thinking about how am I personally doing, we also took time to think about examples of people in our church who are doing invitation well. And one person who came to mind for me was Sarah. I see her doing a lot of creative inviting both to her home group, and to church. And so I just wanted to ask her a couple questions today. My first one is, how did you become passionate about invitation?
And for the recording, introduce the name.
Oh, this is Sarah Jay's caddy.
Wow.
Yeah, so let me back up, because when Sarah Marie called me this week and said she wanted to interview me here and she saw me as invited, I was like very pleasantly surprised. Wow, like, I know I'm doing this, but I didn't know I was doing it enough for anyone to notice, so that was cool and encouraging to me. I feel like I can press on because, I don't know, it's, I am doing it, so that's exciting. But you asked, how did I become passionate about me? I'm a people person. I'm an extrovert. I have to be very careful when I come to church to say good morning quietly because I'm all like, it's my people. So I think being a people person has helped. I loved Jay's research because one thing for me that I see in people is that people love to be invited. Like, we genuinely like to be invited to things. And I see that for myself, and I see that for other people. I grew up in a home where my parents were very interested in inviting, so that was a lifestyle for us. My grandparents have 9 kids, and my grandpa was a truck driver, so the way that my dad's family got to church was riding a church bus. And when I was in junior high, there were a bunch of kids in our community who couldn't get a ride to church on Wednesdays, and so I would ride the church bus, like, just to go pick up everybody and bring everybody into church. But as an adult, I think I got passionate about inviting and hearing a statistic that you kind of touched on, that people who, after having a baby, will be more likely to be interested in things of the Lord, to get back to their faith, or to really question, what do I believe about God? I'm going to have to teach someone, you know, what I believe about God as I'm, like, raising this person. So I think that in my adult life, that information was very encouraging, as a catalyst to, all right, like, let's get on this. I'm this age, and these people, you know, are at this point in their life where they're interested.
Sounds like passion and strategy, though, like, looking at who around you, who, what's your stage of life, who's around you, and how can you invite them specifically?
Yeah.
Not even just like a blanket. Everyone should come. It sounds more specific than that.
My husband works for Toyota, and so we had the opportunity to live in Japan for a while. And I was thinking, wow, Japan, like, this is great, and someone else is paying for me to live here. You know, I didn't have to raise support to go to the other side of the world. And thinking, if someone was paying for me, like, if I had a team of supporters to live here, what would I do differently as opposed to just, like, living in this space? So when we were living in Japan, we had more of an American-style house, which meant we had a larger living room than most people. So I really wanted to learn the language, and I had a space that was large. So I decided I was going to host a language play group, which was fun. And Japanese culture is very precise and intricate. And I love Christmas, and Christmas isn't huge in Japan just because they don't know about Jesus. So I decided to host a Christmas cookie decorating with kids and moms. And we did all shapes that I could talk about, like, the culture of Christmas and the meaning. So we did Christmas trees, and as most of you probably know, the reason we do an evergreen is for everlasting life. Like, we believe that Jesus lived here, that he died, but he's alive, and we can have everlasting life. So we bring this evergreen in during the deadest season of time. This is why. And we did the star, and we talked about how the star led the shepherds, and they were excited, and people were waiting for him, and they spread the good news. One of the women said, I don't think any kids in Japan know this story.
So that was a huge catalyst too. I think that at that time I really clung to Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So, that's why I'm passionate about inviting.
thank you. How have you cultivated an ongoing lifestyle of invitation?
I think one huge hurdle that I've had to get over in cultivating a lifestyle of invitation is just really humility in this is my home, this is my kids, this is where we're at. My kids aren't always going to be perfect. My house isn't always going to be perfect. I'm not always going to have have it on track, but our lives are open. I think bringing, not that I had to bring my husband into it, but my husband is introverted, and so we have a lot of conversations about what can we do together? What am I interested in hosting? What are you interested in hosting? You know, what are you not going to dread? What am I not going to think is, you know, too much or too little? I think a few things. The belief that people love to be invited and just reminding myself of that. Knowing that it's really important to show up for people. So if I don't have time to come to someone's kid's first birthday party or make food for them after they've had a child or, you know, say yes to their requests, then they're probably not going to say yes to my requests. So showing up for people is huge. And also, I think before a lifestyle of inviting comes a lifestyle of sharing. Someone shouldn't find out that I'm a Christian for the first time because I'm inviting them to New Life Church. They should find out that I'm a Christian when they say, hey, how was your weekend? And I say, it was great. I got together with my friends at church, or, oh, it was a hard weekend, but this happened at church, or, if someone asks, how are you doing? I want to talk about how I'm really doing, which typically has something to do with my spiritual life. So those things should be out there as far as they know I'm a Christian. And so I'm inviting you into my life. I'm inviting you into out of this thing in our home or this thing at my church with my people, you know. And I think trusting God with my reputation is another big one. I'm a people person, like I said, so I'm all about doing your due diligence and knowing where you're at and your social maturity, inviting people well. But then after doing your very best work, trusting God with your reputation. I remember a time in Japan where I had learned a new phrase. I had learned how to ask people, so where do you work? Or how often do you work? And then I went to somebody and I said, oh, hey, I think I have a new way to invite people to this playgroup, because I learned how to say, how often do you work? Or do you work on this day or that day? Will that work for inviting people? And she said, no, 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 no. You cannot ask a mom at the park how often she works. So, okay, great. Like, I can't use this rude way of inviting someone and trust God with my reputation. I'm going to do my due diligence and trust God with my reputation.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts you'd like to share with us? I mean, I'm grateful for all your words.
I think one really fun story that Kate kind of has a little bit of a mini ending. So there is a friend of mine who I shared a lot with, and invited her several times. So I have this I know her, I know American culture, I talk to her about God in my life, and I invite her. And her husband called John and said, do not ever invite us to church again. And do not let your wife invite us to church again. And we thought, wow, like, that went poorly. But okay, so we can still be friends with them and just not invite them to church. So we just went a time just being friends with them and not inviting them to church. And then I planned my birthday party dinner to be out right before the Christmas concert. It's like, hey, you want to come to my birthday party? We're going to go to dinner, come to New Life, go to the Christmas concert. They started coming to the Christmas concert, and they started going to church with someone else. And then this weekend, their two boys came forward at a youth event to receive Christ.
What?
So, was it worth John getting chewed out over the phone? Absolutely. Yeah. Right? Like, and I would say that's the worst response we've ever had to an invitation, but to just kind of trust God and let it ride and be respectful and keep at it. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Isn't
that's
it?
Awesome.
Cool?
That's
yeah.
So cool. Let's pray. God, we thank you for being a God who invites us in. And we thank you for Sarah's testimony today of how you've inspired her and put passion in her to model you in our world. And we are grateful. Lord, help us to reflect you in your spirit of invitation to others, and even in this moment bring someone to mind that we could invite. And we worship you today for these two little boys who came forward and placed their faith in you. Thank you that no one goes unnoticed by you. No family is too far from you that you can't see, rescue, and redeem. And we do pray for Japan, Lord. That your name would be made known there, that it would be a country that worships you, and that every little kid there would know the story of your son's birth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you.
One thing that Jay, Jolin, and I just wanted to touch base on quickly is to reiterate and affirm to you, when are times that it would be good to contact a staff member, keep them in the loop on something? And the heart behind it is we always want to hear from you, whether it is something that is a success or a win that you want to celebrate with someone, or it's a hard situation that you could use extra coaching or support on. We see our role and view of things is that we're people who are here to help shepherd you as you shepherd others, to help carry the weight and sometimes burden of leadership. And so we hear from some of you like, oh, well, I wasn't really sure. I thought about contacting you or letting you know that this was going on. And if you're having that thought, like, we want to know. Like, even if it's something small, that it would just be helpful to know that someone else knows it too. Joel and I would specifically like to hear from you if you have concerns that someone in your group is a danger to themselves or someone else, that we could provide you with extra shepherding through that. Those are things that we have experience with that we wouldn't necessarily expect all of you to have training in or experience with, and even just being able to talk through. What do you do when you think someone's that unwell, and how do we walk through this together? Would love to be able to support you in that. If there's a situation in your group that is a conflict situation that doesn't seem to be resolving itself, or the people have met together and it didn't resolve and you met with them and then it didn't resolve, we would love to step in and support you in that. And we're here to serve you. We want to serve you, care for you as you care for others. So please don't be shy with your reaching out. Any questions? What questions do you have about that?
semi-related. If you're a person who fills out attendance in Alvanto, you'll see on your screen that there's a spot where you check off who attended and then a notes section. And we would love for you to take 2 minutes and include a note about what you did that week, how it went. If there's someone in your group who's new that you need added to your roster or taken off, we can take care of that. Joel and I try to read all of those. I know Joel for sure does it. I do my best. And then any support or coaching that you might need, or Jane and Susan got into a fight 3 weeks ago and we haven't seen Jane since. Like, that's a good note to put in there. We would love to know that and try and help you. And I'm gonna give Nate Donger shout out. You're killing it on the notes section, and yeah, you're doing a good job. So,
it's good to know. I've never mentioned any of the notes before.
We were way back when, anybody remember when we used church teams? We were pretty good about it when we used this old software. This is like 2 church management softwares. We were pretty good about it then. But I think that with our swap over to using Alvanto, that habit didn't make it. So if you're responsible for filling out attendance, if you could start utilizing that notes section, Joel and I would appreciate it. Sometimes people leave us funny comments and jokes too. So it's a surprise.
Look, I used it.
Yeah. All right, VBS this summer. New Life's VBS program is in partnership with a few other churches. It's held at St. Paul Lutheran School on Earhart. And that is from 9 to 12 each day. Registration is open. That is low-hanging fruit. If you know anyone with kids if your kids are going, it's a huge opportunity to invite others into that space as well. I know of at least 5 or 6 families that are committed, a bunch of volunteers who are serving from our church, so that is our big VBS, that's a push. If you haven't signed up yourself and you have kids, awesome opportunity, so take it.
It fills up pretty quick.
It does fill up quick, so.
You, like, if you're a week late, I'm fairly sure that you might not make it.
Yeah, and the registration is open. They've reframed it early, because it got launched, I think, ahead of when they won it. So you do have a bit of a window here to jump on before they try to make a big push even. So
they're also still recruiting volunteers, even if you can't make it every day. I can't make it every day, and they were still happy to have me volunteer. So if you've got even a little bit of availability that week.
Yep, and what you could do as a leader is, if you have families in your group, find the email that Melissa sent out, or even just take this note, and just through your form of communication, whether it's, I don't know, if you have a chat app or email, whatever it is, text, and just mention to them this week, hey, reminder, VBS is happening. If you caught the email and you haven't had a chance to look at it, check it out. Mm-hmm. Clarity on Easter. We had talked about trying to do some other crazy big event. We're going to stick with the standard this year. It's just too late, and we want to make sure that what we already are committed to, we just do well, and those will be the spaces you can invite people into. We will have a Good Friday service. We also have the Easter service on Sunday itself. Beyond that, we'll just have the normal life and rhythms. And then anything bigger, we're going to just try to gear towards the fall, be a little more strategic with the planning, and give more time to it. So, and then, did you have a
other things coming up? It's not too late to register for the intro class that's coming up on March 15th and 22nd. It's a time where we go over our doctrinal distinctives, learn more about the life and rhythms of the church. It's free, and it's on... We've condensed it down to 2 Sunday afternoons, so you can go online and register for that. And then coming up on Saturday, March 29th, is our next Women's Thrive Monthly, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Next door. Try to encourage the women in your groups to attend if they can, or make space for them to attend. It's a really great time of intergenerational connection and support for one another. And we will, March 29th, be back together again.
Awesome. So I'm going to close with some prayer. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for how you're at work in our church. Lord, I thank you for where we see just the vibrancy of you alive in us, Lord. And then we get to see the vibrancy of, or the reproducing that you're alive in others around us, Lord. I pray that you would remind us
encourage us that you are at work all around. I thank you for just the words that were shared here from Sarah, Lord, the invitation, the heart of it. Lord, I pray that we would hang with us, that we would go from here and just be inspired to be on the lookout of who's around us that we could invite into your church, into community with your people, whether it's on a Sunday or another event or space, Lord, or even just sharing that we had a great weekend by hanging out with our people at church, Lord. I just love that. Pray that you would bless the rest of our day. We thank you for the sun, Lord. We ask that you would protect from colds and flu and everything else, Lord, and that we would enjoy, have a great time celebrating together at the service. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.